Send out your light and your truth, O Lord, and let them lead us. Let them take us to your holy hill. In Christ's name, amen. I have a pet peeve. Something about this just rankles me. The people who do not have the common courtesy to park in their own space with between the lines, who straddle the lines. Perhaps a sense about the next slide. It's this, maybe this sense of entitlement. You know, I'm special. I get two spaces. The boundaries don't apply. I have to confess that I do make certain judgments about these people. I admire the, I fantasize about what to do. I have a kind of a grudging admiration for those vigilantes that seek by all, motivated no doubt by the social welfare to help these individuals encounter and experience just the how much trouble they're causing. Well, boundaries and lines are important. They create a sense of space, and space can be sacred. My space. You're in my space. Why are you taking two spaces? Boundary lines and boundaries give us a sense of definition. They create a sense of belonging. That's my space. A lot of times our sense of space is tied to a sense of who we are, the group that we're with. You remember the high school cafeterias and the lunch tables? And you know, if it was like, if your high school was like mine, there were certain spaces where certain groups always gathered. And woe to you if you sat in one of those spaces. There was a signal. You don't quite belong here. We human beings, however, have a tendency to make boundaries into barriers. Barriers that categorize and differentiate, that exclude, that lead us to turn our gaze inward toward, you know, our own people, take care of our own self, our own space, our own time. Well, this story from Scripture is a story about someone who crosses the boundaries. It's a story about barriers. What happens in this field when someone from the outside enters uninvited, an outsider who doesn't quite belong? There are all kinds of boundaries. There are geographical boundaries, there are moral boundaries, there are social boundaries. As I said, these boundaries can become barriers. Need to go back to the field, please. So this is a story about a Moabite entering a field outside of Bethlehem. Someone who has traveled to a different land and a different people in search of a better life. Just trying to find a place to live. Well, here's a wall. Here's a barrier. Comes from Deuteronomy. It's a law. No Ammonite or Moabite shall be admitted to the assembly of the Lord, even to the 10th generation. You shall never promote their welfare or their prosperity as long as you live. The Bible doesn't have any good thing to say about Moabites. Lots to say about them. They're a little people with a big mouth. They're arrogant. They're inhospitable. They're callous. And there's some rather unsavory imagery associated with them. Their women, in particular, are dangerous. They're seductive. They're stalkers. Stay away from them. Keep them away from you. And for God's sake, don't let your child marry one. So here we see in Boaz's field an encounter with someone who stepped across those boundaries into your space. And the biblical writer wants to use this story not just to talk about an interesting encounter, but to teach us something, to give us a vision about boundaries and barriers, and how we as the people of God respond and are to respond to those who enter our spaces, sometimes uninvited, unwelcome. And something remarkable happens in this field. So let's take a few moments and enter the field and wander around and look at what's going on. This field is a microcosm of the whole village community, which is a microcosm of the people of God, which is a microcosm, well, you get the idea. All right. So, notice and remember the way that we start out. We are first introduced to Boaz, an eminent and influential man of means. He is the center around which this little universe in the field orbits. A man of power, influence, standing, reputation. He speaks, people listen. He is right there at the center. And then right after his name, right there at the beginning, he's at the end, his name's at the end of verse 1. Right then at the beginning of verse 2 is Ruth the Moabite, an indigent widow, an immigrant. Couldn't be more different in who she is than this man who occupies the center of the village universe. And something really remarkable happens. Ruth, as a widow, has no real access to the resources and the social network of the community. This is a patriarchal society in which your connection to a male is everything. It is your way of accessing and benefiting from the resources of the community. You've got to be connected to a man to be part of this community and all of its resources. And Ruth enters this community with no connection. There is no living male that she is connected to. So she finds herself in a new place and a new land where she has come along with her mother-in-law simply to survive and without access to anything. It takes a lot of courage to be a foreigner, an outsider, and to enter a space where you know what people think of you and how they think of you. Simply looking, as she says, I'm just looking for a place where someone will look kindly upon me. The first mention of her on the lips of a community member is the foreman. Right? She is, who knows her only as the Moabite woman who returned with Naomi. She is a Moabite. And all of the associations that go with that are brought right front and center for us to consider. But Boaz does not react in the same way. His first question is, to whom does this young woman belong? Now, within the context of the story, he could be saying any number of things. You know, who's she connected to? But in the larger sense, it's a very important question. Because there's another question underneath this. Does she belong? Does she have a connection? So the first question that we have, the first utterance we have from Boaz is a question about belonging. And, of course, the supervisor then says, well, she's this Moabite woman, and he goes on and talks about her. And the text then goes, the story goes immediately to what Boaz says to Ruth. And notice what he says. Don't glean in another field. Stay here. The first thing he says to this outsider, this Moabite immigrant, is, you belong here. And the next thing he says is, join my young women. Stay with us. You belong with us. You have a place here. You have relationships here. You belong with us. And in what follows in this story, we see this eminent and influential pillar of the community step by step pulling this Moabite through the rungs of the society and right into the center. From the young women who are on the outer sphere to the young men, to mealtime, inviting her to sit right alongside everybody else. It's interesting, the Hebrew uses a particular preposition that she's right there beside us. And then not only that, but singling her out to make sure that not only does she have enough, but that she has more than enough. And the effect on Ruth is extraordinary. There is an elegant wordplay in Hebrew in verse 10 that expresses something of the core of what this vision presents to us. How is it that you notice me? For I am a foreigner. Hebrew word, verb for notice is achar. Hebrew word for foreigner is nochria. You recognize me. Ruth has been invisible in this community. If we go back and read chapter 1, Naomi returns, all the women, you know, talk to Naomi. Ruth is not mentioned. She is the Moabite who returned with Naomi from the field of Moab. That's her identity. But Boaz has noticed her, and he's given her the two things that every outsider craves and requires: provision and protection. Shelter. Boaz very emphatically says, don't do anything to harass her or humiliate her, and the Hebrew verbs are pretty strong there. Naomi later says to her on her report, stay in that field. You may get assaulted in another one. Entering this field is a dangerous place for a woman who has no connection and is part of a hated outsiders. Boaz makes sure, because that's part of belonging. You are part of us. I'm going to see to it that you have a sense of security and safety. And then provision. Come here and eat with us. Drink. Eat. And we'll give you enough so that you've got left and some left over. And to the workers, make sure that as she's working, you pull out some stalks for her. Consequence of it is that she comes back with a lot. So here's this this person at the center pulling someone from the outside who's wandered in uninvited, not only providing and protecting, but giving more so that this individual knows and has a deep sense she belongs here. And Boaz gives it a theological tether when he responds to Ruth's incredulous expression of shock and awe. I can't even believe you even noticed me. He says, I have noticed you. Took her invading his space to bring things in motion, but he knows about her. He remarks about her character, and then he says this: may Yahweh repay you in full. And may you receive just compensation from Yahweh, under the wings of Yahweh, to whom you have come for refuge. Yahweh, refuge. There are few metaphors more prominent for the God of Israel than God as a refuge. O God, my strength, my fortress, my refuge. O God, my rock and my refuge. The Lord, your eternal refuge. O God, my rock, in you I shall never feel humiliated. Yahweh is the God of refugees. And what we see in this field is the extension of that God's character and disposition to the outsider who has come for refuge. Yahweh, the God of refugees. So there's a connection between who God is and who God has called his people to be. The God of refugees has taken all of us, battered and bruised and outside, and who have come to the Lord for refuge, and has taken us into himself, made us who could not be any more different than God. Surly and stubborn and besotted by sin. And yet, the Lord has welcomed us into his sphere of belonging, has encouraged us, has delivered us, has provided for us, has protects us, all of those good things, and has made us partakers of the divine nature. Not just because God likes us, part of it, but because God intends for us to be an extension to others of what we have experienced from the God of refugees. Now, there's a name for this. It's called hospitality. Hospitality is at the very core of the Christian life. Hospitality is the extension of welcome and belonging, and not just belonging, but making someone feel secure and safe and valued. The extension of what we have received from God. It is underneath love your neighbor as yourself. And the very core of who we are as God's people. It is a radical vision that contests and resists a world of barriers and boundaries and exclusions. A world that's focused on taking care of our own and just making sure that we're all just ourselves taken care of. Christine Pohl, who has written a wonderful book on hospitality, puts it this way. Hospitality resists boundaries that endanger persons by denying their humanness. It saves others from the invisibility that comes from social abandonment. Sometimes, by the very acting out of welcome, a vision for a whole society is offered, a small evidence that transformed relations are possible. This is what we see in the field of Boaz. So how does this vision then help us to see as God sees? How does it help us to understand not only who God is, but how we are to be God's people in the world today? Well, we see Ruth in the faces of gleaners all over our world, living at the edges of our communities. We see them even in our own communities. Unnoticed, invisible, we know about them. Cast aside, even in our own communities. We don't have to go around the world. They're right here. And we live increasingly in a world of barriers and walls. Walls and barriers even in that land where God, the God of refugees, took up his dwelling on earth. Walls and barriers have a place and a purpose. But sometimes people get through them. And they end up in foreign spaces where they don't belong. No one invited them here. They are the Moabites who appear in our fields, in our communities. They wander in to our churches. So how does God call us to respond? Who are the Moabites who've wandered into the spaces of your communities, your churches, uninvited, simply like Ruth, looking for a better life. The God of refugees casts out no one. In the person of Jesus Christ, he even said, "Those who come to me, I will never cast away." The God of refugees welcomes all, expels none. But what about God's people? Lord, we thank you for your word, which is given to us to help us see as you see, to help us see the truth about our world and about ourselves. Oh, Lord God, thank you for welcoming us into your sphere of belonging. Give us wisdom and courage and sufficient compassion to welcome those whom we find in our fields. In Jesus' name, amen.